Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
God changed lives this morning. Are you ready? Come on, let's sing it. Salvation that there is in Christ belongs to every single person, every age, every culture, every country. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. We love you, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Sing that. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Come on. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. You gotta get that in there. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Whatever your situation is, he's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Tell someone this morning, he's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Come on, look at someone and tell them, he's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Testify this morning. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. I want you to get out of your chairs and go greet someone. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Go tell him this morning. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. He's never gonna let, he's never gonna let me down. Gonna let me down. everybody. God is good. We're going to get right into the message this morning, because the message is going to mess you up, all right? Not church as usual. Turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. The title of my Bible says, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Everybody say this, the Word of God is life to me. Healing to my body, renewing of my soul. It is the power of God that changes me from the inside out. It is eternal life. The Word of God is Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us. It is powerful, come on, sharper than any two-edged sword. It affects me. It changes me. This is not church as usual. Anybody shout amen? Because here in this passage of scripture, it wasn't church as usual. Because Jesus showed up at the synagogue. And when Jesus showed up at the synagogue, he messed things up. It was messy. Wasn't the normal order of service. It says, another time Jesus went into the synagogue. That means he went often to mess people up. Another time. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. The question is, what did you come to church here for today? What's your motive? Why are you here? Some of them, they watched him closely. Some of you are watching Pastor Bob closely this morning. What are they watching? To see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. I love that. Stand up. You, get up here. Stand up in front of everyone. We are going to have church this morning. We're going to see God do some things here, not just the normal. We're going to have church this morning. Jesus asked him, or them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. But they remained silent. And he looked around at them in anger. How many know God gets angry? Looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed. He was angry and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Their hardened hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. They just saw a bona fide miracle in front of their face. The man was completely restored. This creative miracle takes place in front of them. They immediately go out to plot to kill him. Their hearts were so hardened. They were so stubborn, not even a miracle could change them. Now, Jesus' ministry was one of comfort. We talk a lot about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't just one of comfort, it was also one of confrontation. He confronted us to get us out of our conformity and complacency. He's good at that. Back then, here we have a system of religion in the synagogue system that was not working. Wasn't working. There's a lot of churches today, they have a system or a form of religion. Makes you feel good because you go through the liturgical order of service, but it's not working to change people's lives and change people's hearts. temple system back then was dysfunctional. It was unfit for what it was designed to do. How many here are thinking about summertime now that the 90-degree day has passed? On Friday, we were like kayaking and laying in the sun. And then all of a sudden, yeah, we had dinner. We ate out late at night. And then on Saturday morning, it was like, bam. It's like, what happened? We were just sitting in our backyard last night, eating hamburgers and corn on the cob. I was just like early summer dreaming, you know? Crazy. But when you think about summer, a lot of us think about getting in shape, right? Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to wear shorts and I'm going to have to wear clothes that are revealing. And so somebody has bought a Fitbit. Anybody buy a Fitbit? All right, great. You know, you see how many steps you take per day, and that's awesome. You know, getting in shape is relative for everybody. You can walk and you can ride your bike. The trail's right behind us. You guys can ride your bike to church. Just bring your bikes in the lobby, put them downstairs. It's fine. Ride your bike to church. Or you can sign up to work out at a gym. Cascade, LA Fitness, Gold's. Or you can go to Planet Fitness or Crunch. Both of them have the same theme, no judgments. I heard Crunch is better than Planet Fitness. I don't know where you go. You know, when there's two kinds of people that work out. You got the beach body guys working out. You know, the Venice Beach Arnold Schwarzenegger guys. And they're doing, you know, bench press. Anybody know what bench press is? You know, you did bench press. How many pounds can you bench? You know, and you're working on your chest, you're working on your biceps, you're working on your triceps. And that's what we call the beach body workout. But there's this new thought within physical training. It's called functional fitness. Functional fitness is when you can take a little kettlebell, which we actually have some downstairs. I forgot to bring it up. And you can do multiple exercises to exercise multiple parts of the body that help you in your everyday life. Help you to walk better. Help you to sleep better. Develop multiple muscle groups with multiple movements. Functional fitness. In church, you can take one Bible verse, like one piece of equipment, and that one scripture can literally change your life. It's called functional faith. Applicable faith. Faith that works. Today I want to give you something where you take with you, that you apply to your lives, and it works. Because God's word is relative. God's word is applicable to our lives. God wants us to put our faith into practice, bring faith to life. It works. It's alive. God's word applies to your life. See, the church here should be a functional place where you come and you get real life needs met. Real life needs met. This is not a show. Hallelujah. This year is also not just for believers. As a matter of fact, we want all people to come to church. This is for seekers, those who aren't Christians. If you're Buddhist, if you're Muslim in the house, welcome. Amen. If you're homosexual, welcome. Glad you're here. Amen. Because here is a hospital for those who need healing. This isn't just a meeting for the believers just to fire ourselves up. If you're an alcoholic, welcome. You're in the right place. Amen. If you're addicted to pornography, welcome. Hallelujah. You're in the right place. If you're addicted to drugs, welcome. You're in the right place. Why? Because we believe that Jesus Christ can change your life. Jesus Christ can set you free. I love it when inquisitive people come. Feel welcome. And don't just come once, come twice. Come three times. Amen? Why? Because in this place is where the captives can be set free. In this place is where the drug addicts can be set free. The alcoholics can be set free. Those who struggle with sexual dysfunction and confusion can be set free. See, Mark chapter 3 is about a system that has become dysfunctional. They were more concerned about the method of religion than they were about the message. More concerned about how they did things and following the song order and the order of service than they were about the Spirit of God changing lives. Than they were about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is about relationship, not about religion. The temple and the synagogues of the day were not worshiping God. They were controlled by a leadership who was more concerned about the praise of men and the security of their own jobs and their paychecks. It's the reason why they set the system in place. The abuse of power, it became a religion no longer enhanced by a vertical relationship with the El Shaddai, but a fearful control by the teachers and the preachers of the law. Fear was served at the table and not faith. Now, we use the word faith in a lot of ways, and our series is I Am Determined, and determination is just another word for faith. I am determined to see God move. We use the word faith, blind faith we talk about, or we talk about faith-based, or a person of faith. Yet faith is more than a formality or a feeling. It is more than a formula. If you can explain it, probably it's not faith. We need faith for what our eyes cannot see. One person said this, the definition of faith is patience with mystery. See, a holy, empowered faith and determination comes from the inside out. When all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives you a word, could be that one word, that one piece of equipment, that one scripture that literally changes you from the inside out. Where you realize that you were not created to be a sinner, you were created to be the righteousness of God. That you were not created to limit yourself with a label of your sexual orientation. That God created you for more than that. Amen? You were created in Christ Jesus to fulfill and do the works of God and to be sexually pure. That God created you to make an impact in the world. You need faith when you can't figure it out on your own. When you don't have the strength, and you don't have the resources or the knowledge or the wisdom for the current challenge, that's when you need faith. That's when determination needs to kick in. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says this, the substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Meaning the evidence of things not seen in the natural. But what happens in the spiritual is God opens up your eyes to see things. God opens up your eyes and gives you a glimpse of your future. Gives you a hope of what could be. If you turn on the switch of determination. Something happens on the inside of you. You know how the flesh is working against you. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But all of a sudden, you get this revelation on the inside of who you are in Christ. You get this vision, this in part of who you are. And the switch is turned on of determination. Whereas once you tried it in the flesh and in your own strength, in your own knowledge, you tried to conquer that addiction. Or you tried to conquer that challenge, and it just didn't work. You may have you know, went on a diet for a couple of months and all of a sudden, bam, all of a sudden you just go back to the way it used to be and you're fed up and you gain back the weight plus more weight until somewhere along the line you get a revelation of this body and this gift that God gave you. And that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that you need this body and you need this strength in order to do the will of God. Because without physical strength, you can't do anything for God. You can't walk. You can't come to church. You can't get in a car. You can't drive. You can't get on an airplane. You can't obey God without strength. All of a sudden, you get this determination. This switch gets turned on the inside of you. Not only do you study natural things and you study things on you know, good eating and good habits, and you go to the doctor and you get a physical, find out where you're at. How many know you need a physical every now and then? Find out where you're at. What does the doctor always tell you? You need to lose weight. So I don't know how many times I heard that. But you all of a sudden, that switch of determination gets turned on the inside of you. And you purpose to not turn it off. I am not going back to that bottle. I'm not going back to those drugs. I am not going back to that computer. I am not going back into that abusive relationship. You out there? I am not going to yield back to that habit that got me here in the first place. I am not going to continue to make stupid decisions. You know, people make dumb decisions. Oh my gosh, dumb decisions. And they make it on the fly because it feels good at the time. You know, someone come out and say, Pastor Bob, I got a job at McDonald's. I'm thinking, great. So glad you got a job and you're 23 at McDonald's. But what about school? What about future? What about vision? What about getting married someday? You know, if that's your vision. What about a house? What about the vision God has for your life? I'm glad that you have a job at McDonald's. I'm glad that you have a job at Winco. I'm glad that you have those jobs. But what about future decisions? Amen? What about what God wants for you down the road? Amen? What about the untapped potential of finances that God has for you? How are you going to reach that? How are you going to get that? Don't settle. Don't settle. See, here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus was looking for an opportunity to confront. He's looking for an opportunity. Did you know right now that the Holy Spirit is in the church, in this church right now, in this service, looking for an opportunity to confront? He's here. Confront what? Confront your fear and lack of determination. Let me give you a word about the election. Many of you have fixed your eyes on the political system. And you have grown weary and you've lost heart. You have fixed your eyes on man, and the Holy Spirit says this morning, stop it. You are scaring your children. And the next generation takes their cue from us. You think to yourself, oh my gosh, if we don't get the right person in office, it's the end of the world. Now, sure, government matters and laws matter. But let me tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit says this. You can't stop the plan of God. Are you hearing me? You cannot stop the plan of God. We have nothing to fear. Are you out there? Come on. Hallelujah. And we need to model for the next generation that God is in control. Sure, get involved in politics, please. But don't fix your eyes there. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Because he wants you to foresee the future that he has planned for you. He has planned for you. See, the Pharisees back then in the temple, they came in looking for an offense. This is what Pharisees do. And the man with the shriveled hand, who couldn't reach out, was filled with a church of people who wouldn't reach out. Many times, as Christians, we only pray for our needs and our stuff. And it's exactly what the devil wants us to focus on. Only our needs, only our concerns, and only our stuff. He wants to keep us so self-consumed with our problems, with our past, what happened with our family, what happened way back then. Keep us so self-consumed, keep bringing it up, keep talking about it, mulling it over and over again instead of looking towards the future. God wants you to look towards the future. We can be so self-consumed with our problems, weeks, months, and years, and so focused on us. The question this morning is this: when is the last time you came before God and He asked you to do something that would make your life less convenient? And you did it. See, God will confront our dysfunction. What is our faith for? Why did you come to church this morning? Did you come as a consumer or a contributor? Jesus reminded them that any occasion, whether it be the Sabbath or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, all through the week, is a good occasion to be a blessing and a help to people. And we know that that day, Jesus was picking a fight, because He could have done this miracle anywhere. He could have done it silently in the back of the synagogue, yet He called the man up front. And He uses the circumstance to make a point. And He addresses the system that was dysfunctional. So many times, we are so focused on chasing after circumstances instead of looking into the future and planning to change the system. Instead, we chase after circumstances and we're constantly putting out fires. Sure, I want you to get that job and I'll be happy for you. But don't settle for where you're at. Don't settle for the job you're unsatisfied with. He wants to fix the dysfunction where the system is broke. Why do you continue to get into abusive relationships, the second, the third, the fourth? Why do you continue to do that? Why are you continue to be attracted to those kind of people? The system is broke. God wants to reveal to you and confront to you that He can fix it. He can fix the system. Faith was given to us to help us project a better future. That's what we're here to do. Why? Because it's functional. Faith works. Faith in God works. A faith that wages war, a faith that is solid and stable, is unshakable. My faith has an outlook. Hallelujah. We look at the world differently. We see it on a different plane. It's not just body and soul, it's spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit people. We see into the unknown and the unseen, and we have a connection with the unknown and the unseen, with the demonic and the angelic world. We know what's going on there and the battle that's being waged for our souls in our lives. We look at the world differently. And we walk by faith and not by sight. It's like God was telling Abraham. Remember when He promised Abraham that his descendants would be greater than the sand on the shore and the stars in the sky? And I'm sure after God told Abraham that, and he didn't have any kids, Abraham was probably stuck in his tent and wouldn't come out, because he might have been depressed. He might have thought to himself, okay, God, You promised me that I would have a child, that I would have a family, but it's not happening. I'm 99 and my 100th birthday is this year. And my wife isn't much younger. And I'm sure he's inside of his tent, because that's where the devil wants to push you. He wants to isolate you. One of the biggest problems these days is loneliness. People have no friends. And isolation is the playground for the enemy. Isolation is where the devil will take advantage of your mind and your soul. That's why he doesn't want you to come to church, doesn't want you to talk with people today, doesn't want you to go out to dinner with anybody after church today. He just wants you to go home and be alone. You may feel good after this, but if you don't make any relational connections, the devil's got you right back where he started. Here's Abraham in his tent, and you know what God's telling Abraham? Get out of your tent. Get out of your tent. Come on. Abraham's like, oh, I've been here for days. Get out of your tent. He gets out. Oh my gosh, it's so bright out here. Oh, look at all this sand. Aha. Okay, God, you're reminding me what you said, that my descendants would be greater than the sand on the shore. He dances around a little bit and he praises God and he thanks God for the promise and he goes back in the tent and gets depressed again. Lonely, isolated. God's like, Abraham, you're never going to have a child unless you sleep in the same tent as Sarah. Hello? Get out of your tent. Get out of your tent. He's like, oh, man, I just had dinner. My stomach is bloated. It's getting dark. He wanders out of his tent and he looks up. Okay, God, stars, sky, your promise. I get it. Sarah, hello. I get your promise. 24/7. Abraham had a reminder of the promise of God, a visual picture of the promise of God. Faith works. It affects our life. It enables us to do the impossible. The man got up in front of the people. He had to be willing to stand up in front of the people. You know, the Bible says we shouldn't be ashamed to be Christians. We shouldn't be ashamed to be believers. See, our culture is trying to push us down when the Holy Spirit is trying to say, stand up and be a witness. Our culture wants to accept the verbiage of our society. Don't offend anyone. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't tell anybody about their alternate lifestyle and what you think about that, because you may not love them, which is a crock. Don't disagree with anyone. Let's just all get along. That's exactly what the devil wants. Nobody out there telling anybody about Jesus. You know, our culture wants us to accept all religions because God is love. And God loves anyone when we know full well no man will get to the Father except through him. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, we need to have grace. Well, sure we do. But Jesus wasn't just full of grace. He was full of grace and truth. Both. And he confronted people. He told people what he thought. He was looking for a fight. Anybody looking for a fight? Come on. Some of you's got some fights on your hand right now. Hallelujah. Some of you have been accused of being one of those unloving Christians because you have an opinion. You know what? Thank God you have an opinion. Thank God you're standing up for truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. We can do it in love, but that doesn't mean we don't tell people truth. Because if you don't tell people truth, guess what? People will never change, because if you know the truth will set you free. Come on. And the more truth you know, the more free you be. The more truth you know, the more free you be from the inside out. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. The man got up in front of the people. He wasn't ashamed, but I could see him getting up like this. Both hands in his pocket. Jesus said, show me your hand. No, not the good hand. The bad hand. Aha. See, here's what we do a lot of times. We come to church with our hands in our pocket. And we want everybody to see the good. God forbid anybody see our problems. God forbid we ever be honest with anybody. Just show them the good side. You guys out there? Here's some of the good things. But we love to hide the issues, the problems. when in all reality, our honesty with God and our transparency with other people is what's going to set us free. The church is a hospital for people. Amen? That's what a church is for. When you're honest and you say, hey, I need prayer for this, God is like, bam, he's there. God loves it when you step out in faith. Amen? When you say, hey, Pastor Bob, I'm struggling, can you pray with me? Pastor Bob, I did this week. I need some help, need some counseling. Bam. God shows up. I've been addicted for decades, secretly drinking alcohol. Nobody knows about it. Bam, God shows up. Hallelujah. Freedom. That exposing what's in secret. Because the longer you keep it in the secret, the worse it gets. Worse it gets. Amen? We have a support group that Wendy leads on Tuesday nights. You need to come if you have kids that have dealt with addiction. Have five ladies show up Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Guys or girls? Parents coming. It's anonymous. They share resources. They talk about things. But at first, you may be embarrassed that your kids are in that situation. I know my kids are not perfect. I know your kids aren't perfect. Oh, my kids have done some things that if I told you, you would go, oh my gosh, the pastor's good. I know the same for you. Now, don't go asking them now, okay? It's the same with me. If I told you things I did when I was a teenager, you wouldn't come back to church. You'd be like, seriously? You know what? I finally took my hand out of my pocket and I said, God, I'm laying it on the table in front of you. Here's what I've dealt with. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm struggling with. I need you, Holy Spirit, in my life. I need your healing. I need your forgiveness. I need to move on from this. I need to stop using this side as an excuse for not walking in faith and following my dreams. Amen? Both hands out. Both hands up. I give it to you. Amen? But just dim the lights, guys. So, Father, we praise you. Now the singers come. I believe that the restorative presence of the Lord is in this place. For some here, he wants to restore your determination. For some, he wants you to turn the switch of determination on, that you're going to pursue your dream, that you're going to overcome the obstacles. In this church, we have a religious alarm. Whenever someone comes in and wants to talk about tradition and religion, there's an alarm that goes off in the spirit here. If you've ever heard these fire alarms go off, it'd run you out of the building. It's that loud. You want to know what? Religious people don't make it in this church. They don't make it here. Real people, real issues, real problems, real faith. That's what God loves. That's when the Holy Spirit shows up, confronts it, deals with it, heals it, sets it free. Bam. I mean, God wants to pick a fight with you this morning. Pick a fight with you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Love you, Lord. We're going to sing this song again. If you want to come forward and worship, get on your knees. Stand. You know, I would encourage you to get out of your seat. Go to the sides. Let's worship with this song, and then we're going to have some prayer time this morning. Hallelujah.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I rise. drink
from. There's freedom in the house, guys.
Oh, he is
I feel the Spirit
song.
Of God right now. Ooh, hallelujah.
Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide.
Hallelujah.
The ransom for my life.
Oh,
sing that verse again.
Is
let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, for he is my song. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. It's you are good.
Come on.
You're good. Oh,
tell him this morning.
You are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, and let the King of the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song.
Come on, let's sing it.
Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song.
Again,
let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails.
Turn the switch of faith and determination back on. turn the switch of faith and determination back on. Where you've lost your way, where you've got tired and weary, do not be weary in well-doing, but continue to follow the plan of God for your life. Turn the switch of faith and determination back on. And don't give up. And don't say, Lord, where are you? As he says this morning, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you till the end of the age, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Those who need prayer for that this morning, let me say, Pastor Bob, I need prayer to help turn the switch of faith back on. I need prayer to switch from natural determination to supernatural determination for my circumstance and my situation. That's you. Come forward. Make a line right across here. I'm going to lay hands on you this morning. Just right across here, front. Great. Come on down. Need some ushers. Any ushers, come down. Just stand right shoulder to shoulder next to each other. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you guys turn my mic up? I'm kind of struggling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we're going to lay our hands on these people this morning. We thank you, Lord, that when we lay our hands on them, we thank you for a supernatural occurrence. Lord, the Spirit of God already lives inside of them, but I thank you, Lord, we jumpstart that determination on the inside of them. Not just natural determination, but supernatural determination. 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 Super. Come on, take it, take it, take it. Supernatural determination. Supernatural determination. In Jesus' name. Supernatural determination. Supernatural determination. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come here, Wendy. Come here. Father God, we pray for Wendy right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing. We transfer my anointing to her, God. The wisdom, Lord, that you've given us over the years. Thank you, Lord, as she leads this group of parents, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The devil will not continue to attack her children because of her determination to lead this group. I thank you for protection for her. I thank you, Lord, for blessing for her. Lord, as she gives, it will be given back to her. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over as she leads this group. And it grows. Give her the wisdom to do everything you've asked her to do and called her to do. In Jesus' name, bless Joanne as she helps. Because you are the assistant. Did you know that? You're called to be the assistant to help her. Loves you, you love her. So I thank you, Lord. You've been wondering, what's my purpose? It's not just filling cups for communion, although I appreciate it. This is part of the purpose that God has called you in this church. It's going to get overwhelming at times. You're going to have to do what God's asked you to do. Amen. Get in shape. Be determined to eat right. Be determined to change, because you have many more decades left on this earth to serve Him and be a blessing to Him. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. New knees coming. New knees coming. New knees. New knees. New knees. New knees. New knees. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Determination. Freedom. Determination. Determination and freedom. Determination to be free. Holy Spirit determination. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. That no more addictive behavior will steal any more one of these family members in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that addiction is broken over this family in Jesus' name. Addiction from alcohol is broken. Addiction from drugs, broken. Addiction from cocaine, heroin, broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for that determination. We thank you, Lord, for freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. You've got to be determined to put Him first. You've got to be determined to say no. You've got to be determined that Jesus is your Savior. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. anybody who's sick and needs hands laid on you this morning, come forward. You're sick, got some kind of ailment, something going on, you got pain somewhere, we'll pray for you again. Anybody sick, come on, we'll lay hands on you this morning. Hallelujah. Don't stay sick. Don't stay in your seat. If the Holy Spirit is confronting you, you know on the inside, don't sit there. Obey, respond. We don't care what people think. Nobody cares what. Whether you come forward, nobody cares. Nobody cares how many times you've come forward. Doesn't matter. Keep coming forward. Keep getting prayer. Keep being determined. Determined to not stay sick. Determined to not stay sick. Right? Right? Determined. No heart problems in Jesus' name. Heart working, no enlarged heart. No system that doesn't work. No, you will not die like your family. You will live a long life and you will proclaim the kingdom of God. And you will continue to be the mama that your kids need and your grandkids need in Jesus' name. I need ushers. I need somebody. Come on. I need ushers. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Okay, you ready? He's going to hit you. Jesus. Jesus. He's good. He's good. Stop believing the lies. He's good. 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 Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Every part of your body. Every part of your body. Every part of your body. Move the chair. Every part of your body. Every part of your body. In Jesus' name. There he is. Come on. Every part of your body works. Every part of your body works. Every part. Stop believing the lies. Thank God for doctors, but you subscribe to a greater physician. His name is Jesus. Every part. Father, I come against depression. I come against sadness. I come against despondency. I thank you, Lord, for vision. I thank you for future. I thank you, Lord. God, you heal every single part of her body. You show up big time right now, God. From her top of her head to the soles of her feet. And I thank you that beyond this prayer, there's hope. There's hope. Hope restored. Hope restored. Vision restored. Life restored and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are precious to Him. You are special to Him. You were created for a purpose. You were created to do something significant. Things have gotten off track, sure. We all get off track. God's putting you back on track today. To a supernatural determination on the inside. To serve Him and to see the promises and the blessings of God come to pass in your life in the months and the years to come, in Jesus' name. Diabetes has to go. Diabetes has to go. All your system works properly. Your pancreas, your liver, everything's working properly. Your blood sugar is normal in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you we can do what you want us to do in the natural, but I thank you for supernatural. Long life. And I'm just letting you know, by the Spirit of God, your upcoming decision, you're making a mistake. Every part of Phil's body works. The top of his head to the soles of his feet. Long life and strength. As he serves you, Lord, in his retirement, God, I thank you he gets even stronger. Thank you he gets even stronger. Walking, running, jumping, and riding his motorcycle for days, God. An evangelist on a Harley, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. We come against hopelessness. God loves you, don't leave, as much as He loves anyone else. Loves you. His power and His healing power is at work in you right now.
I got you. I got you.
Jesus, I thank you every part of you where it's problem. Pain has to go. Discomfort has to go. It's healing in His hands. Trust in His wings. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be determined that the lies of the devil who have come against you for years are lies. Start speaking His word. And be determined to open up your mouth only to praise Him and thank Him for your healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for peace. Thank you for total and complete healing, cleansing, and deliverance. We love you, God. We praise you for your sweet, sweet spirit. God is such a future. Such a future for you. Such a future. Seek after Him. Honor Him. Thank you, Lord, for healing past. Thank you, Lord, for helping her to kick in that supernatural forget system. Thank you, Lord, that she's able to move on. She's able to use what happened to her in the past as a healing tool to combat demonic attack that's been over her life. There's a reason why he's been attacked so much. Because God has an amazing thing for you. Keep fighting. Because today he's fighting for you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit picked the fight and you're responding. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Laughter and joy. 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 Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, you're good. You're good. Thank you for the amazing children that she raised. We just thank you, Lord. We look towards the future. Thank you, Lord, you restore the relationships she desires in her heart. Thank you, Lord, you restore the home that she lost. Thank you, Lord, you restore the life that she once had. As she continues to remain faithful to you, Lord, you remain faithful to her. Continue, Lord. Help her to be determined to keep that switch on of determination. That she will prove to her ex and prove to her kids and her friends that God is a restoring God. He's good. He will fulfill the dreams of your heart. Don't give up on them. Don't give up speaking about them. Don't give up praying about them. Don't give up going for them. Don't settle. Don't settle for the job you're in. Don't settle for the place you live. Don't settle. Thank God for it. Look towards the future. Future, future. He comes to show you the future. He comes to show you the future. Things to come. Things to come. Things to come. Things to come. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the ushers, if you guys can just stand with two buckets at the exit. And if you want to pay your tithes on the way out, you're welcome to do that. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I just want to hang out. It's only 11:20. We don't get it this early. It would be like, that wouldn't be part of the system. It wouldn't be part of the system. Thank you. couple announcements, you guys. Bridge 58 this Wednesday night. Men's breakfast this Saturday at the Bear Diner, Black Bear Diner. Tuesday night support group for parents who have dealt with addiction in their families. The Mayor's Prayer Breakfast is June 9th, and you can sign up online. I will put it on our Facebook page. I forgot to. And don't forget to check in on Facebook on your phone. Let people know you were getting free at church this morning. You know, I really truly believe there's a lot of people out there that are so lonely and they need a touch from God. And I want to welcome, if you're a visitor this morning, welcome to City Park Church. So glad that you're here. We hope that you come back. But I want to encourage you to bring someone, target someone. And go get them. You know, you invite somebody and they say they show up and then you come to church and you're waiting and you're looking out the window, you know, and they're not coming and you're like, ah. Then you invite them again and they're waiting and they're not coming and you're like, ah, third time. And then you just give up. Why don't you just on Sunday morning go get them and tell them you'll pay for their lunch afterwards. I'm serious. Just be radical. People like free food, right? They love it when you pay for it. Take them out to the Nicholas restaurant. Get yourself some shish kebabs. Amen? Serious. We cannot continue, City Park Church, to do church as normal. We cannot just minister only to ourselves. Although I love all of you. All your beautiful faces. But we have got to reach out to a hurting, lonely, and dysfunctional world that needs from God. Amen? Let's fill this place up with people that need Jesus. Everybody, hi honey, I'll let you speak in a minute, I know. Everybody is welcome here. This is a hospital for people that need help. Amen? And there's no judgments. Whoever they are, no matter what they smell like, no matter what lifestyle they're involved in, doesn't mean we agree with it. But we know that the loneliness and the despondency and the desire to not be in those lifestyles and in those addictions are strong on the inside, even though they pretend to be okay. They don't want to be there. They're looking for something. They're looking for freedom. Amen?
Amen. So this morning I woke up to a pastor from Spokane just texting me. She never does, and that's what she wrote. She said, "Good morning. According to Psalm 32:7, long before you woke up this morning and long after you go to sleep tonight, the Spirit of God was circling you with songs of deliverance." God isn't just for you in some passive sense. God is for you in the most sense imaginable. In the most sense imaginable. Love you, my friend. And that scripture comes out of Psalm 32, and I just want to say it really quick. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." We've experienced that deliverance since this morning. So I encourage you to know he's your shelter. He's your comfort. We know we have a family here that had their mom pass away. And so there's times of grief and times of sadness. And in this, God wants to be found. In those painful situations, we have some people here that have loved ones that are sick. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter the whole message today is, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what the pain is that you find in your heart, that he wants to be your deliverer. He's with you. He's going through that pain with you, and you come out on the other side with more, knowing him better, knowing him more, and knowing your purpose more. So be encouraged. Walk in faith. Be determined. And know that he will not leave or forsake you. Isn't that beautiful? It says he surrounds you with songs of deliverance. So walk out this morning and receive that. And go to bed with it and wake up with it. That he's your deliverer, he's for you, and he will see you through this in the name of Jesus. We love you. God bless you.
A couple family things. Keep praying for Chuck. Chuck had his back operation. It was successful. And he's recovering. And it takes a number of weeks to get back to where he needs to be from personal experience. It's good to have Ray back here in church. He was in the hospital for 5 weeks. It's good to see him gaining weight back. And then please pray for Don Self and the family. Don's dad had a stroke and an aneurysm, and he's in Montana right now ministering to his dad and his family who desperately need Christ. So continue to pray for them. If you know them, the Selfs at all, they're in the midst of planning a big wedding that's coming up in a number of weeks, and so it's added stress, but God is big enough on the inside of Don and Kara and the whole family to take care of every situation. And then he's praying and speaking God's word over his dad in front of his brother and sister who aren't believers. And we're believing God for a miracle. Amen? Just like Sibylle's mom had a stroke and she's 95% or more and continues to recover and do everything she used to do. Amen? Come on, go back there and shake your hands this morning. Don't forget your giving. We didn't take it traditionally, but the ushers will be there. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it.